Mark Drake is on a mission to train leaders around the world about the miracle and mystery of Christ living his life in and through all who will believe. Join us on this journey into the heart of the real new covenant and the transforming power of true grace.
Are we having a good time yet? It is exciting. It's exciting to see what's happening. And you know, if we're not winning people to Jesus, there's really no need for us to be doing this. We could just all go down to the Moose Lodge or something. But the kingdom of God is about reproduction. Jesus made it very clear when he said, I will build my church, but you will go make disciples, teaching them what I have taught you. And that's what's happening these last 2 weeks. We're going on this next week. If you've not done it yet, please, please, for your own sake, as you can see, this has a transformative effect, not only on the multitude of people that are being touched and prayed for, but on the people that are going out to do it. It is truly changing their perspective, giving them a courage. You're not going to be alone. Nobody's going to throw you in the deep end of the pool, but you will find yourself eager to share. And when you're ready and when you are, then there's a script for you and there's people that can help you do that. But we're also having evening services throughout the week, and there's a reason for that. And I want to talk a little bit today about the reason for those evening services. You and I were made by God to be spirit, soul, body people. We are not just a body. In fact, the least important part of who we are is our body. It will have to be made new one day when Jesus returns. But we're spiritual people. And from the Garden of Eden on down, God has interacted with his people through and by his Spirit. So as we gather in the evening services, there's a reason for that. And you'll hear Brother Tony or Tommy talking about getting filled more, 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 all this more, more, refill, fill again, fill again. You say, why is that so repetitious? Because the Bible teaches us that the normal Christian life is based on the reality of our interaction with the Holy Spirit. When God came and you surrendered the ownership of your life to him, the Spirit of God made you new. He made you alive when you were dead in your sins. He made you alive to him. But then he comes to live inside. Paul said, if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in your mortal body, then he will put life into your mortal body. Well, my mortal body already has life. So what kind of life is the Spirit going to put in me? The life of Jesus. He is the Spirit of Christ. So once we come to know him, his Spirit comes to live inside of us. Now we begin to enter into this ongoing relationship of being filled with the Spirit so that he can work not just in us, but also through us. And we've talked about this for the last 3 years solid now, that the new covenant is all about the Spirit of God coming into us and working through us, into us and through us, into us and through us. When that happens, when human beings begin to experience a greater revelation or a more powerful manifestation of the Spirit of God, it is normal for weird things to happen. It just is. And I know the leadership, we're praying that none of us get offended by the way someone else reacts to what they're feeling in the evening services. Are you there? You say, well, why do people act like that? I'm not sure. But God has made us all different. All of us have been made different. And the Bible is filled. If we had the time, we could find 100 different ways in the Scripture that people reacted when they sensed or felt the presence of God. You say, well, those are not very definite terms. Yeah, I know, but it's because he's a Spirit. and we're so earthly minded and body minded, it's hard for us to understand what happens when the Spirit of God, which in fact is invisible, but He breaks through that human veil of invisibility, and somehow you suddenly know God is being made more real to you right now than He was before. Now He's not gotten any bigger, but He has gotten bigger in your understanding. He's not gotten any more real, but you have been increased in your ability to comprehend His realness. The reality of God remains the same. David says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Well, how can we do that? God's already infinitely big. Well, what David is trying to help us understand is that we have to expand our awareness of God's bigness. And this is part of the New Testament pattern. Now, I'm going to be reading from Acts 19, and then we're going to go to Ephesians 5. We're going to really try to kick it. I'm going to have to start talking really, really fast here. Joni, don't cover up my clock there. All right. Now, this is Paul in the middle of one of his missionary journeys. And he went from city to city, town to town, very strategic, because both led by the Spirit, but more often than not led by the map of the best roads that were available in first century Roman Empire. And he comes to the city of Ephesus, and when he gets there, he finds out that there is a small group of disciples. Now listen to these words. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, these are Gentiles, by the way, Paul asked them, "Well then, what baptism, water baptism, did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism is a baptism of repentance. He told people to believe in the one who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were all baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, when he touched them, the Holy Spirit came on them. They were all filled. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. And there were about 12 men in all." 12. So if you give them each a wife, you got 24 adults. Paul made a trip, and in that trip, he stops in Ephesus, and he impacts 24 people. We'll speak generously here and say they're all married. 24 people. That's it, 24 people. But 24 people not only get baptized into the lordship of Jesus in water baptism, but they then get filled with the Spirit. There's an infilling of the Spirit that happens to them. The word baptism literally means to overwhelm. So if we're talking about water baptism, we believe in water baptism by immersion so that the water overwhelms you. Since baptism is a metaphor for the death and burial of Jesus Christ, He didn't have just a little dirt thrown on Him. Or dead people don't have just a little dirt thrown on Him. They get overwhelmed. And that's what baptism is about. But the baptism in the Spirit, the initial infilling of the Spirit, is an overwhelming. Now, people react differently to that. We're all wired differently, personality-wise. Thank God that we are. Now, I'll show you what I mean. How many of you love Brussels sprouts? I mean, you really do. You really like Brussels sprouts, right? All right? Now, how many of you are really, really hoping that at the marriage supper of the Lamb, they're not serving Brussels sprouts? How many? Okay, all right. See, we're all different, and that's because God has made us literally infinitely different. And so when we sense something that is beyond the veil of visibility that we really cannot comprehend, when we sense that God is somehow making Himself more known to my awareness, some people cry. Some people laugh. Some people who always cry ought to try laughing. Some people fall down. Some people kneel down. If you've not ever knelt down in the middle of a service, you ought to try it. Biblically, it's a good place to be. In fact, more often than not in the Bible, when God really did show up, most people were down one way or the other. You say, "Well, I don't want to fall down in church." That's all right. Lay down. It's easier. Especially if you've been worshiping the Lord for a couple hours. It gets tiring. You worked all day. Lay down. That's all right. You say, yeah, well, I was watching that person over there. Well, that's the first problem right there. But I was watching that person over there, and they were looking around to see who was watching, and then they fell down. I think they just did that so they would look spiritual. That's all right. Jesus had the same thing. He said, when the Pharisees pray loud prayers on the corner, so you will all look at them and think they're spiritual. If somebody does that, it's okay. They get their reward. They think, other people think, they're more spiritual. On the other hand, when we find our children, as we have the last 2 weeks, dozens of our children on the carpet, unaware of what's around them, because Jesus is revealing himself by the Spirit to an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, it just doesn't get any better than that. So what we see is the Apostle Paul coming into Ephesus, asking them about their encounter, realizing that they didn't understand anything about the infilling or the baptizing with the Holy Spirit. So he prayed with them. Now, time goes by. Paul is now in Rome, in jail, and from jail he writes back to the believers who were in Ephesus. Now, they've made more believers, so there's a bigger group now. But this is the same group that when Paul first came to them, one of the first things he asked about was the Holy Spirit, made sure they were all filled with the Spirit. So it's safe to assume that after Paul left, they continued the model that he gave them. And when people put their faith in Christ and were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were then encouraged to be filled with the Spirit. That makes perfect sense. But in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, give us that slide, if you would, please. There we go. This is chapter 5, verse 18. Paul is now writing back to the original 24 and all the other people that they have now brought to Christ and made disciples, following Paul's example, prayed for them, no doubt, to be baptized or filled with the Spirit. He writes back to that group of people and he says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Then you will sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Did you just feel that we sang a little more enthusiastically this morning than we did a few weeks ago? That's because of a filling that's been going on inside of us, you see. You say, well, I don't like it loud. Well, we have earplugs on the back table. We do. We really do. We have earplugs. And my brother Larry wears them all the time when he's here. And that's smart. And he sits right up here where it's pretty loud. But he's got his earplugs in, and that's good. Now, Paul does something here that is important for us to understand as we learn how to read the Bible and understand it. Paul does a teaching in this passage of Scripture that we refer to as contrasting and comparing. This is a method of teaching. Jesus used it almost all the time, where he would compare one negative thing and then compare that to a positive thing. He gave the unjust steward who cheated on his boss. He actually praised him and said, what he did was wrong, but it was smart. And my people need to get smarter, not wronger. Wronger, that's not a word, but you get the point. But they... I tried so hard in the first service to contain myself. I did pretty good, but I'm having a problem right now. All right. Paul uses a method of teaching that we call comparing and contrasting. Now, notice what he says. He said, now remember, he's writing back to people whom he knows have continued to follow the example of lead people to Christ, baptize them in water, get them filled with the Spirit. And then what does he say? Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. If you have a New American Standard Bible, the translators do us a great service in their translation, because in the margin, the middle margin of your New American Standard Bible, the translators put in there, and it will say literally. And what it says literally in there is that do not keep getting drunk with wine, but keep on being filled with the Spirit. It's present continuing sense. That is something that we don't just do once and then go on, but it's something that we do again and again and again. Why? Because if we let the Spirit fill us, what will be the result? He will control us. Isn't that what we want? That's what we want. It's for Jesus living in us by His Spirit to control us from the inside out. That is the difference between the covenants. In the old covenant, people read the rules, gritted their teeth, and tried to keep them. In the New Testament, people receive Christ. They open up their mouth to keep getting filled, and He begins to lead us, guide us, control us from the inside out. So notice the contrast and comparison that Paul uses here. What does he compare in a opposite way or a contrasting way to being filled with the Spirit? What is the comparison? Getting drunk with wine. Now ask yourself the question, is Paul talking about someone who drinks wine once and never does it again? Well, of course not. The comparison is that in the same way that an addicted person does it again and again and again and again and again and again, in the same way, keep being filled with the Spirit so that He can grow in His ability to control us so that we will be led by His power in us, in and through. That's what the new covenant is all about. So Paul makes a comparison between people who are doing something that's bad for them and ruinous for their life. Don't keep getting drunk with wine. And then he compares that to the most positive thing in the world, but keep on being filled with the Spirit. Now, in doing this comparing and contrasting, Paul likes to use word pictures. So does Jesus. In fact, the whole Bible, God has communicated the most primary way that God communicates in the written scripture is through word pictures. Constantly you'll read, the kingdom of God is like this. The Son of God is like this. It's not really this, but it's like that. Why does he do that? Because he knows we have a great dilemma understanding spiritual things. Things that are invisible, those things that the invisible world around us is more real than the visible. The unseen is more real than the seen, the Bible says. But the problem is, it's hard for us to grasp the unseen realm. So God, from Genesis on through, speaks to us through word pictures. Now that's what Paul is doing here. When you read, don't keep being drunk with wine, you get a word picture. You see somebody who's being messed up and controlled by alcohol. You see somebody who, if they weren't being controlled by alcohol, they would act differently. Are you there? So that the Holy Spirit may control us, that we keep on being filled. Now, the Bible is filled with these metaphors, these word pictures. Some of them that we need to grab a hold of go like this. When you read through the scripture, you'll find that in describing, especially in the book of Acts, if you just go through the chapters in the book of Acts where people were filled with the Spirit, begin to watch or listen, pay attention to the descriptive word pictures. On the day of Acts, it says they were all filled. Now, that there's a picture there, right? Right? There's an empty container, and it gets filled. Now, you and I know that that word picture indicates that you don't get filled instantly. Right? But there are measures. You're going to fill up an empty container. It gets a little bit, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more. And all the container has to do is stay under the spout. Right. Just don't get in a hurry to move away. There's another place that says that the Holy Spirit fell on them. And that word is a very aggressive word in the original language. It's a hard-hitting word. The Holy Spirit punched them good. He fell upon them. Now that's a little more demonstrative when someone falls on you. Now what we don't want around here is us old-time Pentecostals popping people in the head to try to knock them down. But when the Spirit falls on us, that's a good thing. Whether we remain standing or not, it's totally immaterial. But there's a word picture there. And I know we like to say that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and there is very much truth to that. And He is also the sovereign God. Oh, there's so much I want to say. We need Joshua to pray for the sun to stand still for just a few more minutes. All right. The Holy Spirit fills them. He falls upon them. Here's a beautiful word picture in the Bible that it talks about. The Holy Spirit was poured out. Now think about that. Think about how we would respond to that. The Holy Spirit's being poured out. Now there are three words that are used consistently, Old Covenant and New Covenant, to describe the Holy Spirit. Those three words that are used overwhelmingly more than any other are water, oil, and breath. That the Holy Spirit is pictured as being living water. It is being pictured as being oil that burns in a lamp. He's pictured as the breath. In fact, the word spirit, literally both in Hebrew and Greek, in Greek it's pneuma, wherever you see the word spirit, it's pneuma. And that's actually where we get pneumatic. And that means a force of air, wind, or breath. You remember after Jesus rose from the dead, but He had not yet left to go back to the Father, it says that He gathered His disciples and He breathed on them. Now, there you go. There's a charismatic service. Line everybody up and... But that's why our prayer team carries Tic Tacs. Because if there's any wooziness, we don't want it to be from your bad breath. So the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is pictured, so we can get some kind of an idea. It's pictured as water. It's pictured as oil. It's pictured as breath. Now think about this for a minute. Water. How many of you had water to drink yesterday? Did you drink water yesterday? How many have already had quite a bit of water already today? Why? Are you just greedy? We need it. Why do we need it? Because when we drink the water into our body, it gets utilized by the act of living. And the Holy Spirit is pictured as water that we drink. And then as we let Him live in us and through us, that measure that's been in us gets used up. You say, well, how do you explain that? I can't explain it. It's God. All we can do is take it for what it says. Oil. If you put oil in a lamp and you light it, the very activity of giving off light or heat uses up the amount of oil. So what do you have to keep on doing? Refilling. You fill it and you fill it again. Once will not do you. Breath. How many of you have taken a couple of those today? If you don't in the next moment or two, you'll be going down for some other reason than the Holy Ghost. Jesus breathed on the apostles. Now think about this for a minute. Before Jesus has come out of the grave, He has an immortal body. He passes through the wall. He's in the middle of the room, suddenly. And it says, He breathed on them. And then He said, now, guys, receive the Holy Spirit. But the Bible tells us, Jesus said Himself, I must go away because unless I go, the Spirit cannot come. So when He breathed on them and said, guys, receive the Holy Spirit. They didn't receive the Holy Spirit. Not then, because Jesus was still there. But after He went back to the Father on the day of Pentecost, 10 days after the ascension back to the Father, they began to hear again. You ever wonder why it says, and there was the sound as of a rushing mighty wind, the significance of that? They immediately remembered 10 days earlier, Jesus blew on them and said, now, when that happens, receive. When you feel that, receive. You say, well, I'm feeling something. I'm not sure whether it's indigestion or what, but I'm feeling something. Well, let's just go with that. Whatever it may be, let's just go with that. Let's let Him fill us up. But when we utilize the presence of God in our lives, then we need more. And this is, God has set it up this way so that we would never feel that now we've had enough, we can go on and take it from here. Thank you, Jesus. No. I am always dependent on another infilling. I love the fact that on the day of Pentecost, Peter was in that room. He was one who was filled by the Spirit. But several weeks later in Acts chapter 4, it says that he got arrested for healing a man. And they kept him overnight in the jail. And in the morning, they went to get him and they were going to flog him or beat him. And the scripture in the New American Standard tells us that as they opened the door to get Peter, it says, and Peter, comma, having just been filled with the Spirit, opened his mouth and began to speak to the leaders. You know what Peter was doing just before the soldiers came to get him? Oh, I love you, Jesus. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm in trouble here. He was getting filled again. He was getting filled again. Now, we don't have to keep getting refilled because we're such terrible people. Water, breath, oil. This is just normal life. This is normal life. And the normal Christian life is being filled again and again and again and again. And my friend, let me tell you, Christianity that does not include constant, regular, ongoing infillings of the Spirit becomes a lifeless list of moral rules. We're talking about interacting and fellowshipping with the living God. And when we receive the infilling of the Spirit and the refilling again and again, every time we do, we're declaring that we do believe the Father is God, the Son is God, but the Spirit is also God Himself, and it's God living in us. Would you stand with me, please? What we're doing in the evening, and what this team and Brother Tommy are leading us in, is to be filled again. To be filled again. To be filled again. From our children all the way up to our grandparents, to be filled again. Because that is the normal Christian life as given to us in the New Testament. Now maybe we would say, but that sounds a little fanatical. What about reading my Bible and understanding the Word of God? Well, John 16, Jesus says, when the teacher comes, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps you study the Bible and gives you comprehension. What about evangelism? We've been talking about that and doing it every day. Acts 4 says, after they were filled with the Spirit, they spoke the word with boldness and great numbers came to know the Lord. What about growing Christian character? Galatians 5, now the fruit of the Spirit is. Christian character comes from being filled and filled again and filled again and filled again. I fly a lot every year, well over 100,000 miles in airplanes. One of the most dangerous places for me to look like a goofball. Because when I get on the plane, I put my noise canceling headphones on and I begin to meditate on the goodness of God, and something starts bubbling up inside of me, and I always have to remind myself to not get too carried away and freak people out. Because after 9/11, they will arrest you if you get weird on a plane, let me tell you. Jesus breathed on them.
Join us on this new covenant journey at markdrake.org.